Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Tonight, we just want to focus on healing. We're going to talk about healing. We're going to talk about some other things too, though. Just going to go a little different direction than I thought I was, but that's all right. Is that all right? It'll be good. It'll be all right. The man with palsy was healed, Mark chapter 2. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Wow. That is just so amazing. Jesus looks up and he sees these guys pound a hole in the roof of Peter. It was Peter's house. He pounds a hole in the roof of Peter's house. Imagine Peter watching the Lord speak and he's watching his roof be torn apart at the same time. And these guys are dropping somebody down. It says they couldn't get in. You know, they couldn't get in because there's a whole bunch of religious people in there. There's a whole bunch of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They all want to hang with Jesus. They all kind of wanted to be around and listen to him. But they didn't really, you know, follow anything all the time. They were just there, but skeptical and, you know, full of doubt. But I love, listen to that. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he saw their faith, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. How many people are waiting for a manifestation of your faith so that they can be free? Yay. When they saw their faith, and you know what? He saw their faith. Turn to your neighbors, just see if you can see any faith on them right now. What does faith look like? When Jesus looked at them, he saw faith on them, you know? He saw, what's faith look like? Hey? In Acts chapter 14, it says that, Paul was there preaching, and it says Paul was preaching away, and there was a guy who was sick, and the guy was watching him intently, just receiving, and then Paul realized that he saw that he had the faith to be healed. He saw faith. Did you know you can see faith? When I'm preaching, I can see faith. I can see sleep. I can see spirits of slumber and apathy. You can see it, but when you're preaching, you can see faith. You can see people that are like, more, more, more. And people are ready and they just believe. You know, you can just go and call them out and bang, you know there's a miracle there. It's fun going preaching places. You don't know people, but you can see faith on people. And you just see them manifesting. And it's so easy when you're out there, you just call out that one because you know it's all over them. It's so evident. It's not a mystery. You know, you can see that there's faith to receive what's been ministered. And faith comes by not having heard the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. And Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's a proceeding word. It's not a word. It's a proceeding word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. So you know, there's always a miracle wherever the word is. Wherever the word is, there's a miracle. What I want you to see here is if you look, it says, but there were certain scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God? Now, what does that mean? That means you got a whole bunch of people full of unbelief. You got a whole bunch of other people sitting in the room there who did not believe that he was the Son of God or had any ability to do that. They reasoned in their hearts and they were saying to themselves, this man's a blasphemer. They were saying about Jesus, sitting in the congregation, saying about Jesus, he's a blasphemer. Who does he think he is? And yet there was power. It says there was power to heal was present. Sometimes we think we got to get everybody in faith and we got to get everybody in unity so there can be a miracle. But the truth is, if the word's there, his word is spirit, his word is life. And if the word is going out, then there's power to be healed. There's power to be healed. The power of God was present to heal. Whee! Give you some word. You ready? Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, for he heals forgives all my sin. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit of corruption. He crowns me with love and compassion. There's the word. That's the word. Enough was said right there for you to be healed right there. Right there, because that word went out, that word was declared, it created an atmosphere, it created a creative realm that you can step into. There is power present to heal. Isn't that great? Who's waiting for your faith to come into manifestation? You know, there could be people walking here broken and bound up, but you know, Jesus sees the faith of this house. You know, I want it to be a place where people come in and they feel that there's nothing too hard today. Whatever I've brought with me, there's no struggle, no difficulty too hard. I can break through right now. Amen? It's a realm. There's a spirit of faith where nothing, anything can happen, and it probably will. John 10:10. John 10:10. What's John 10:10 say? The thief comes only to rob, to kill, to destroy. He comes only to rob and to kill, to destroy. That's why he comes. The thief comes only, there's a comma, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly, have it till it overflows. Amen? The thief comes only. Devil bad, God good. Real simple. You choose what side of the sentence you want to live on, because you know what? You're set free. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the enemy." The devil comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. He steals the word to kill your spirit, to destroy your life. "But I have come that you might have life." Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. Sickness, disease, illness, infirmities, it's all a work of the devil. It finds its place, it finds its source. It is something from hell. It's not something that God desires. I mean, if God desires it, why is he your healer? I mean, if God desires you to be sick, then you shouldn't go to the hospital. If this sickness is from God, for you to go to the hospital for healing would be against the will of God. You would be in abject rebellion to God if you took your sickness to a doctor. If God was teaching you something, you going to the doctor would be an act of rebellion. And if God really wanted to teach us through suffering, go stand in front of a train. Do you want to get closer to Jesus? Go get hit by a car. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The earth, the heavens are the Lord's," but he says, "the earth he has given to man." God did that. God gave the earth to man. So if you don't like what's going on earth, guess who has to deal with it? You do. I do. He's given responsibility down here. Why did Jesus have to come as a man? Why couldn't he just come as God? He had to come as a man because he could not exercise any authority on earth unless he came as a man. And Jesus came as a man, and Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus was manifest for what purpose? To destroy the works of the devil. Was he manifested? Yes. Did he destroy the works of the devil? Yes. How do we appropriate that? Through faith. Through faith, we appropriate the purposes of God. Of God. Now, if Jesus ascended, he's exalted, sat down. Sitting down means you're finished, you're done. If he sat down, he has all dominion, all authority, and all power. And if he's given that all to us, why is there still so many manifestations of wickedness in the earth? Why? If I am who I say I am, why are we struggling to overcome? Why? Did you ever ask yourself why? Well, you should answer those questions. You should get answers to those questions. You should find out why. You've been called to be an overcomer. You've been called into a life of victory. You've been called into the very life of God himself. You are a partaker of his divine nature and his power and authority. You should never, ever desire to live below your privileges. So we got a personal responsibility to appropriate it. If the devil is still active and the devil is still having his way in the world, it's because the church is allowing him to do it. So we got to rise up. Now, some people get concerned about triumphalism or reconstructionalism or some eschatology which they disagree with. But the Word of God is very clear as far as I can tell. It says in Acts chapter 3:19 that the heavens must retain him until the restoration of all things. And it says according to the Scriptures. So when you read the Scriptures, you realize that God wants to do a restoration work. A lot of people, though, with their eschatology means end times teaching. And a lot of people's end times teaching says that the stuff isn't going to get fixed up until Jesus returns. But if the heavens are holding him until the restoration of all things, then there's a little bit of difficulty in our theology. There's a few things that don't quite add up. And people are afraid that if you believe in restoration, if you believe in a full manifestation of the privileges of the sons of God, if you believe that and you expect it now, you're really in error. You're preaching a false doctrine. But really it's not. It's just that it wrecks their little paradigm and it messes up their little end time eschatology. So instead of standing at the bus stop and escaping from the mess and the disaster, we're supposed to be here responsibly manifesting the power of God to the world. I like messing up people's theology. I love arguing with them about their eschatology because most of them don't have a sound eschatology. They don't know what they believe in. The biggest battle is right here, these 4 inches in your head. It's the stuff that you believe or that you don't believe. It's your distortions and your deletions that are messing up your life. Distortions being the things that you believe that aren't true. Deletions being the things that you need to believe that you don't even know about yet. It's this little 4 inches that's messing up your life. It's not the devil, it's ignorance. People perish for lack of knowledge. Hello. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. I pray that the Lord, the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which was wrought in Christ when He was raised from the dead, and have set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and has given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Talks about the last days when there's going to be a giving birth to a full-grown man. And really what that means is that in the last days, the body of Christ is really going to come to maturity. And Jesus, who is the head, is not sick. The problem with the body of Christ is not the head, because the head is all together. Jesus isn't having a problem. The problem is that the body has not aligned itself properly under the headship of Christ and is not walking in clear revelation from His head. It's not that Jesus is out of line, it's that there's an alignment has to take place in the last days where the body of Christ, a full-grown man, is born in the earth, and it is the church, it is the body of Christ, that will fully manifest and demonstrate all that Jesus said we could have. Now, there are many that teach we will never have that until Jesus returned, but I beg to differ. I really believe that is a false doctrine that has crippled the church and kept the church from realizing its full destiny, because you will never, ever try to achieve what you don't believe is possible. If you don't believe that that's possible in this day, and if the eschatology has been put upon you of end times teaching and doctrine, if that's been, it's never going to happen, we're going to escape before we get out of here, it's going to get ugly, going to get worse, we're never really going to have an impact, the church is going to be apostate, it's going to get ugly, we're going to have to sneak out the back door in a secret rapture. If that is your mindset, then you will never, ever fully realize what Christ has for the church in these last days. And before we can appropriate a truth, somebody has to teach it. Somebody has to sow the seeds of a preferred destiny in the hearts of a people that will be bold enough to shake off the dust of dead tradition and become what God wants us to be today. Far above all principality and power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one to come, He's put all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things, which is the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What does all mean? All means all. What does in all mean? All in all. What does fullness mean? It means He's going to fill everything, everywhere with Himself through the church. We're not going to be some impotent little body that sneaks out the back door. We're going to be a powerful group of people who go out with a glorious parade. And everybody's going to know we were here. And our influence is going to be known in all the world. His name, his testimony shall be preached to every nation with signs and wonders. Then the end will come, but not until then. Okay, praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:10. The intent was that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who's going to make things clear in the heavenly realm? Who's going to straighten things out and bring authority into the heavenly realm? Who's going to do that? We are. We are the vehicle to bring proper alignment to the heavenly sphere. We've got a responsibility to do that. We as a church have to walk in knowledge, understanding, have to know who we are, because things will never line up in the heavenly realm. There'll never be clarity in the heavenly realm. Heavens will never invade earth if the church doesn't bring alignment to principalities and powers that are trying to put a canopy of darkness in the way of the revelation of God. Now. And that is a great key word, isn't it? It's not later. It's not in another dispensation. It's not in another millennium. His intent was that now. I don't know how people can miss that. I don't know how people can take such wonderful truths and shove them into another realm, because they just have a hard time exercising and lifting their faith high enough to believe that the power that is in us has the ability to achieve that in the earth today. It's scary to take responsibility for the world. Romans 16. You know what? It comes out of little caves like this. It comes out of little remnants like us. I look around tonight and we qualify. It is. They were in debt, discontented. They were downtrodden. All the D's. Despised. Discouraged. But when they came to David, he turned them into a mighty army of God. He turned a bunch of wiped out people into giant killers who changed the world, whose names are written here. You know what, people? Listen. Oh, it's going to be a nameless group. It's going to be a faceless tribe that fills the earth with God's glory. That is bunk. That is absolute garbage. It is a false teaching. It's not true. This book is full of names. It says there's a name written in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. It's not a faceless, empty-looking group. You know what that does? That brings us all down to the lowest common denominator. You know what? God's not into socialism. God really wants to see achievers. He really does. You know, the church is so full of, well, we just need to love everybody. And you do. We just need to accept everybody. And we do. But God blesses some people more than others. Why? Because they're bold enough to take it. They're bold enough to appropriate it. But you know, the church today is getting emasculated, getting denuded. And we're turned into this mamby-pamby little faceless group that are just going to fail the world. It is not. It's people with names. There's going to be names. There's going to be champions. There's going to be mighty men and women. Right now, there's people in the earth today. The Apostle Paul wishes he was born today. He wishes he was alive now. I mean, those witnesses are looking on and going, "Whoa! Wish I were alive today." God's called us to be that people, to be that incredible, wonderful people. So you know what? It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the average. It's for people who really want to be bold and want to do something more than what's going on. Romans chapter 16. Makes you uncomfortable, all that stuff, you know? Just wanted to sit and be anonymous. Just wanted to kind of chill. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. No, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will be with you. And the Lord of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. We've got a responsibility to crush every manifestation of the devil. We've now been called into a partnership as the sons of God. As he was sent, now we are sent into the world. The church, his anointed body, called to manifest his purpose in the earth, to reign, to rule, and to exercise dominion. Amen. The glory of the Lord shall be seen in all the earth, and all flesh will see it together. Joshua chapter 1. You all right? Cheer up, don't make me shout at you. Joshua 1. Some people don't like shouting anything. Just talk to me quietly, please. Joshua 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Get us out of here, Lord. Oh, my God. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and confident and of good courage, for I shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. Joshua is a type of taking us into the fullness of God. The promises without the presence are useless, though. Desiring all that he desires to give you without desiring him is pointless. And I'll tell you, we're stepping into a day where the first day was Jesus, the Savior. The second day was Christ and his anointings. But we're stepping into the third day where it's lordship. Where it's not even the anointing. It's not even the gifts. You know, all of that stuff. I mean, we thank God for all of that. But you know what? Right now, all I want to do is give my life for Jesus. All I want to do is spend every moment, every breath, and everything for him. And we're coming into a time where the anointing, it all comes. He's still Savior. He's still anointed one. And we still have to minister all those aspects. But to come into fullness and to come into maturity, it's all about lordship. It's all about God. He reigns. God, he reigns. And he's turning it up. He's turning up the heat. He's turning up. He's putting a demand on the body. It just concerns me that there's just a remnant that are going to respond at first. It's going to be a small little group of people that actually are pioneers of this. Because it's not a comfortable word. There's a lot of people who still want to hang on to the good stuff. You see, it's turning a corner. There's a new word coming, and it's die. There's a new word coming, and the word is deny yourself. It's a new word coming and saying your life's not your own anymore. You know, God's hand is going to pull back a little bit off of the things that he blessed before, and his hand's going to bless people who want to die. That's the way the word's going, that yea, thus, and says, and hallelujah, and glory to God. Stand by the bushes and watch and see. Die. Turn to your neighbors and say, die. Amen. Very good. Joshua 3:7. The Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all of Israel, so they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Isn't that good? It's a good word, isn't it? Joshua's taking the people in, and there comes a time where, you know what, you can't exalt yourself. You can't. If you do, God's really good at humbling you. I mean, what would you rather do, humble yourself or let God humble you? God's a really good humbler. I mean, he's first class at humbling. He really is. And you know, God will humble you. You look at how God humbled some people in the Word. You don't want that today. God's going to humble people today. He's going to pull back the curtain on what's really going on in people's hearts and lives. You know, it's going to be exposed. He's going to turn the light on, click. And what it is what it is. But God, there's going to come a place where God is going to exalt his church and his bride and his people. He's aligning, he's reconciling, but then he will exalt his bride. And in these last days, he's exalting his church. And his church is going to come forth in might and in power and in glory. Glory to God. How many feel that in their spirit? How many know that's true? All right. Joshua chapter 10. I'm talking about healing. Did you know that? Because it's all about healing tonight. I want you to be healed. But you know, there's the best type of healing is the healing that you appropriate for yourself. Really concerns me when we got charismatic, spirit-filled people who don't know how to get their healing, who don't know how to stand in faith and patience and appropriate the will of God for their lives. Come on, it's concerning. We don't have to overcome his reluctance. We have to learn how to, by faith, appropriate these things. Hello. And the best kind of healing is the one you get for yourself. Because you can be healed because of the anointing. But you know, for the anointing to be manifest, that means you've got to find somebody with the anointing. Or you can be anointed yourself and break the yoke. But if you're depending on the anointing, you can go from service to service, from evangelist to evangelist, trying to find the anointing. You can be healed because of a gift of the fivefold ministry, because there are apostles. And I mean, I've gone play. I could tell you about so many healings. I've forgotten how many people have been healed in meetings and things. I just remembered when I saw Dale in London, and we were there, and when I was in Australia and ministered there in Australia, I was in a meeting with a guy, or a church there, and as I was ministering in the church, I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden my shoulders is just like, oh my goodness, this is bizarre. I mean, I could barely hold the microphone anymore, and I was like, oh, this really hurts. This is strange. And I kept preaching my way through it. And then all of a sudden, I just felt, this is a word of knowledge. This is a word of knowledge. I went, you know, and as I stopped the sermon, I went, you know, there's someone here, and in your right shoulder right now, you've got pain. And as I opened my mouth, suddenly God started to fill it. And it went way beyond there's pain to, you injured it yesterday lifting something heavy, and you're very concerned about this because it has the ability to damage the blessing of God in your life, and you're concerned about it right now. And as it's just flowing suddenly, it just started, there's a pain, and then all of that just came as you stepped into what the Spirit wanted to do. It took him a long time to get my attention. But when I said that, this guy stood up. It was an Italian guy. He stood up. He said, that's me. He said, I can't lift my... Ah! And he just started running around the building. Started just running. I'm like, whoa. And the place just kind of went loopy. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, but he came up. I stopped him. I said, what's going on? He said, well, the folks here know me. I own 4 pizza shops here in town. And he says, and I'm also an electrical engineer. And he says, I have a contract starts tomorrow with the power company here in town. And he says, I was going, my goodness, my arm, I don't know what I've done to it, but I've really damaged myself good. And I've put in jeopardy my contract now that starts tomorrow with the power company. And he says, my shoulder's all messed up. But he says, now it's totally healed. He said, we were lifting one of our huge pizza ovens, and as I lifted it, one of the guys tripped, and all the weight came on me, and it landed on my shoulder, and I don't know what I've done to myself, but he said, I'm totally healed, and he's running around. I mean, but over and over again, there's so many places we've been. I remember in Brazil, we had a lady who, she came up for prayer, and she was just so broken, and I said, there's something been robbed from you. You're just disturbed about it, and I just feel such pain for you right now, because I believe there's something you need to step into, but it's been taken from you by the enemy. And I said, what is that? She said, you know what? I sang solos, and I've sang solos for years. And she said, but my voice started to get strained. And I went to the doctors and said, my vocal cords had become so strained, and they were beginning to weaken. And that if I continued to sing like I did and did solos, I would eventually lose my voice completely. And she said, it's just broken me. It's so disappointed me, because I really had a strong ministry for that in the body. And now I just feel defeated. And I said, well, I believe the enemy is doing that. It's not of God. It's not anything but an attack of the enemy on your ministry and on your life. And I renounce that right now. And I command it to be whole in Jesus' name. And the pastor with me was terrified, because I'm like, I want you to shout now. I want you to do something you couldn't do. And he's like, oh, my God. You know, but she began to shout, whoa, yeah, and I went, praise God. Went the next night to another church in the same town, and she was there that night, and before I got up to preach, they said somebody's going to come and sing a solo, and it was her. And she came, and she sang a solo, just belted it out, ripped the place off, just amazing. But I mean, over and over again, we were in Cuba, and the lady with the withered arm, I mean, she couldn't use her arm at all. And we came into the meeting, and I said, there's somebody here with a withered arm. God wants to restore you. She came up. I threw a suitcase at her, and she picked it up over her head. And she came in the next night, and she said, it's amazing. I cleaned my house in the morning, and then I went and cleaned my mother-in-law's house. And she says, I can't believe I have the use of my arm. And I've been told, I'm like, woo! I mean, over and over, I can tell you, just one after another, where we've seen people touched and deaf ears open, blind eyes open, over and over again. But this is God. And we're supposed to go out and manifest this kind of authority. All right, Joshua chapter 10. I don't know how we got. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. There you go. I wanted to get to appropriating healing for yourself. So it's one thing to have somebody come in and minister and operate in words of knowledge and operate in faith, and somebody else doing it for you. It's one thing to have that. And that is one way to get healed. One way to get healed is to have an anointed minister come in who operates in that and has gifts of healing and knows how to operate in that. That you can come into a meeting where there's just a realm of the anointing, a corporate anointing for healing in a meeting. You can get healed because you have somebody who believes with you in prayer, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and you get together. You can call the elders. And guess what? It's you call the elders. It doesn't say the elders call you. The biblical way is, if you're sick, you call the elders and they come, and a prayer of faith will heal the sick. There's a lot of people going, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks and you never even called me. I wasn't even in the country. And I had no idea you were in the hospital. I mean, the Bible says you call the elders. Oh. Because when you call, you put a demand on it. So there's that anointing. There it is, you know. But there's the best type of healing is he sent his word and he healed us. The best type of healing is where you take the word yourself and you exercise faith in the word yourself and you put a demand on healing to be manifest in your life. I mean, I love my family because the first thing we do is pray for each other. We insist on healing to be manifest in our home. We rebuke every single manifestation of pain. We resist it in every way. I find it as an offense. I cannot believe the devil has the audacity to try to come near my home. Psalm 91 says, evil cannot come near my tent. I dwell in the shelter of the Most High and the Almighty. You dumb devil, I can't believe you're that stupid. But he will try to do it. But you know what? The best type of healing is where the church matures and grows up and they know how to do it for themselves. We will take all the healing. Healing is the children's bread. It is your right to be healed. When Jesus came to that woman bent down in the synagogue, she came walking in, and Jesus turned, and he said, woman, what's going on there? And they said, she's been like this for years. And he said, woman. And he says he touched her, and she was straightened up. And then the minister didn't look at Jesus, but he looked to the crowd, and he said, if you want to be healed, you come on one of the other days. Don't come on the Sabbath to be healed. You come be healed on another day. Well, I mean, she's been in your church for 17 years, for goodness sake. I mean, don't do that. And Jesus literally said, I have a legal responsibility to demand that she is healed. He said, I am bound. I am bound as a child of God, as a child of Abraham. I am bound that she ought to be healed. And for her not to be healed in the house of God is wrong. She is a child of Abraham. She has a legal right to be healed. Healing is the children's bread. It's yours. It's just if you've got a mindset that somewhere down the road, some wonderful service will take place, and one day, it'll happen. Oh, one day, it's going to be like this, and like this, and like this. Oh, one day. That was like the guy in Bethesda there, and he's sitting there. One day, the pool will be stirred. One day, the angel will come. One day, I'll be healed. And Jesus, the healer, was walking by that minute. And he said, what do you want? I want to be healed. No, actually, Jesus said, you want to be healed? And he said, I have no man. Jesus is like, what do you want? Do you want to be healed? I have no man. Jesus, he is looking at the one, the creator of the universe, the one who with a word can declare his healing. He's looking at the Christ and he says, I have no man to get me to the pool. There's a lot of people looking for Benny Hinn or looking for some ministry, looking for somebody to come to town, looking for that special day when I'll get my breakthrough. You know what? He's standing right in front of you. Okay, praise the Lord. How much time do we have? All right. Jesus, thank you for helping me there. I was going somewhere. I appreciate that. But I always got lost for a second. Yeah. You appreciate that. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Hallelujah. Got something else to throw in my little sand cup there. That was good. Some more thoughts of you. All right, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. You all right? How many got some faith rising in your heart already? Eh? Arr. Arr. I'm starting to miss Sunday nights. On the way here, I wasn't, but I am now. About an hour before the service, I was like, I have to go back? How many were feeling like that themselves? Yeah. Really? And you guys came anyway? Yeah. Look at the number of people who just went, eh. They won't miss me. But isn't it good when you resist your flesh? Isn't it good when you rend the veil? You know, as long as the outer temple remains, the weight of the glory is not revealed. As long as the outer temple remains standing and intact and as a ruling force in your life, the weight of the glory is not yet revealed. Where do you find that, Pastor? I think it's in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. Great verse. As long as the outer temple stands, the weight of the glory, not just the glory, but the way to the glory, is not even going to come into revelation to you. And you know what? There's way too many people who have not rent the veil of the flesh. And the outer temple still stands as an institution that rules and reigns in their lives. Sometimes you got to rend the veil. You got to tell the flesh who's boss, don't you? Hey? Boy, you just shut up. You're going to church. But I'm tired. Got to kick out that. You know what? There is a spirit of tiredness. It's a spirit, for Pete's sake. There are a lot of people right now who are just cuddling up with the devil. Well, you know, a pastor, I was exhausted. She said, no, you were hugging a devil. You were snuggling up to a demon. There's a demon right beside you going, you don't have to go, you poor thing, you know. It's okay. You know? I'll just stroke you. It's okay. It purrs. It's nasty, man. The flesh, an ugly thing, I'll tell you. The flesh. You know what the devil was forced to eat? He was forced to eat dust. You know what the flesh is? It's dust. For you were made of dust and you will return to dust. But when you yield to the flesh, you feed demons. It is. Every time you yield to the flesh, the devil goes. Some people, you know, they got little angels walking with them and great big devils. Big gluttonous devil's going, oh, slow down. Because they're more in the flesh than they're in the spirit. They're just right out of the tree, just gone. Mature sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus. Joshua chapter 10, amen. Amen. Am I boring you? If you want to go, you can go. God bless you. You know, boy, if the flesh is, you weren't talking about me? Oh, who are you talking to? You're talking to somebody else? Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 10. Did I say that? 22. Jesus, you could have a drink right now. You could drink or you could feed a demon, you know, it's up to you. So, 22, right? Just a little background here. They came into the land, they're supposed to take over the land and do all that stuff. When they came, remember they came in the land, they came to Jericho first. They came to Jericho and they got that weird plan of how to take Jericho. I mean, all the plans were pretty regular when they were coming through the wilderness, but when they got into the promised land, the plans got kind of strange. And see, when you're in the promised land and living in the fullness of God, that's the life of the Spirit. So, you know, as you see in the life of the Spirit, it's a little odd. It's unconventional. God starts relating to you in some very strange ways. Suddenly, the way you battled in the wilderness is not how you battle now in the fullness of God. Because you battle now in a whole different realm. You might have to stand on your head. And you'll get breakthroughs in funny ways. Sometimes it's very, very unconventional how God will lead you by the Spirit. Sometimes it's wonderful evangelists out eating locusts and honey and wearing camel skins out in the wilderness. And yet they're bringing millions into the kingdom. I mean, God starts doing some very, very unorthodox things when you step into the realm of the Spirit. So they took Jericho, and then they didn't even consult God. Joshua decided that Ai is just a little town, so he didn't even ask God how we should take it. He just sent a few men down and said, oh, we took Jericho, now just go wipe out that village. Go ahead, fellas. And they went down to wipe out that village, and what happened? This little village, you know, some people got killed, and I mean, they chased them out of town. And the people in there go, whoa, yay! And they're like, oh, what happened? And Joshua's like, oh, God, and God said, shut up. I never told you to go anywhere. You never consulted me. He said, if you'd have talked to me, I'd have told you don't go anywhere. There's sin in the camp. Never consulted me. Now get the people to line up and let's deal with this. I love this story, don't you? Because here's Achan. And you know, Achan knows that, you see, Jericho is the first things. What happens to first things? Who gets the first things? God gets the first things. So what happened to Jericho? Everything in it, the gold, the silver, the everything, the cattle, everything. You don't touch any of it because the first victory in the new land, guess who it belongs to? It's mine. Don't you touch it. And literally the word for tithe is kerem. And there's a word, it's a devoted thing. The tithe is devoted to the Lord. The first things are devoted to the Lord. When you decide that you're going to keep some of the first things, you've brought a curse on your life. And Achan decided that some of the devoted things, he'd keep them. Just a little bit of stuff. Just a little handful of stuff. I'm going to dig a little hole in the bottom of my tent. Keep a little bit here for me. No big deal. Nobody will notice it. Who'll know? And then, you know, Joshua's like, all right, we got a problem. We cannot stand against our enemies because we have kept some of the devoted things. And there's people that keep the tithe and their lives are miserable. They can't get ahead and they wonder why. I mean, the Bible's so clear in this. This is not, you don't have to be a nuclear scientist to figure it out. It's right there. But they kept some of it. And then here's Achan, though. You know, Achan's lining up with all the rest of the people. All the tribes come out. Achan's standing there. And he's like, yeah, you know, get into the story a little bit. Just put yourself there. All these people, all 12 tribes now lined up, and each tribe has to come one at a time, each tribe of Israel. Then they start going down through the clans, and they start going down through the families. I mean, they're there all day, one after another. They're all coming before the Lord, and the Lord is judging right then, and he's going to point out who the offender is. You know, I even believe God was being gracious there, that Achan could have gone, it was me! Holy cow, here it is, it was me! Let's get it out of here! But he didn't. I mean, here's Achan lining up with his tribe and with his clan and then with his family. And I can see like his kid, you know, yanking his, Dad, who do you think the idiot is? Shut up, son. Let's just wait and see what happens. But Dad, I mean, who would be so stupid? Shh, wait a minute. Shut up. How stupid is the guy? And he sees it go from tribe to tribe to tribe. And then it starts coming down their clans and they start coming close to them going, Dad, it's getting really close to our family. Shut up. And he waited right then until they went, Achan, it's you. How stupid. And then, you know, they look back and they said, Achan, you see everything that God promised us? You see everything that God is leading us into? And you abdicated and you abandoned every blessing of God for that little bit of stuff that you clung to. You fool! Tried to gain a little chunk of the world. And you lost your own life. And then it says they dug a big hole. I mean, they had a rock concert and stoned the whole bunch of them and burned the whole thing. And then they set up a great big memorial. Don't let anybody be so stupid as to do that again. That's not the sermon. It's just trying to give you some background. But that's a good word in itself. Anyways. So they get to AI. Now they go to AI with a proper heart, a proper attitude. They go to AI having given God his honor and given him the first fruits. Not one of your enemies, he said, not one of your enemies will be able to stand before you. But how wild was it when they got to AI? Didn't God say nobody would stand before us? Yes, he did. But you got to stay within the pattern. You got to stay within the plan. Okay, that was good. Amen. Got really quiet in here. Have a drink. Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Bashake. So here's what happens. Then the next thing they do, they got the guys from Gibeah. Remember the guys from Gibeah? They're the ones who dirtied up their clothes and got some moldy bread and came trucking over the mountain like, Ben, we've been traveling for days and days to find you people. We have heard how powerful and mighty you are. And, you know, we want to make a covenant with you and honor you people. And we just, oh, man, you guys are awesome. So we'll give you some of our stuff. You give us some of yours. We'll have a covenant meal together and we'll split a deal with each other. And we'll always fight for each other and we will never oppose each other. Good deal. And they went, oh, sure. Isn't this great? People are coming, making deals with us. Look, we are now being recognized as the people of God. Woohoo! And again, Joshua didn't ask God, is this from you? Remember when Reinhard Bonnke, the first time he had a lady call him and say, I want to give you $10 million for your ministry. And he went, woohoo! Finally a breakthrough! Woohoo! I'm not going from month to month, little support, little checks, little dribs and drabs. Finally! Woohoo! He went back, saw the lady, and God said, if you take this money, I will not be your source anymore. He said, but God, 10 million can go a long way. He said, she can be your source or I can be your source. You decide. Wow. You know, here's Gibeah, come down. We want to make a deal with you. We'll be with you. We'll support you. Oh, isn't this awesome? People are beginning to recognize my anointing. Yay, this is wonderful. Never talked to God about it. Never asked him about it. How many are still paying attention? Good. We're going somewhere, I think. But, you know, they made a deal with these people. Then they found out after, they lied to us. We made a covenant with a bunch of liars. But you know what? A covenant is a covenant is a covenant. And you know, you gotta learn about covenant. You gotta learn, even when they've defiled you, even when they've been like that, you gotta honor a covenant. Even if it was, they were deceitful when you made it. If you made a promise, you made an oath, you made a covenant, you cut a covenant, there it is. Now all the other lands, they all heard then that these people had made a covenant with Israel, and they were really ticked off with them. And they said, you know what? If we don't deal with these guys, other people will make deals with Israel. So we gotta go make an example of them. So all the other kings came together and said, we're gonna wipe out Gibeah. So then the Gibeonites said to Israel, hey, all these kings are coming to kill us. We got a covenant. My enemies are your enemies. And they went, you lying dogs, we're going to let you die. We're going to let you rot in the fields and your own blood fill the streets and away with you. I'm sure they wanted to do that. Yeah. Have you wanted to do that? You know, when you got a covenant with somebody, you love somebody, but they're such a dog. And they deserve it. You just want to, just want to kick them when they're down. But you know what? When you got a covenant, you can't do that. You know, you got a covenant with God. And you know what? You're an ugly dog. You brought nothing to the show. But you know what? Whenever you got a problem or whenever you got an enemy, it's his enemy too, and he's ready to fight for you. And he'll never fail you. He'll always be there because he's our Joshua, and he'll never fail. So here was the greatest victory that they ever had going into the promised land. And this was what initiated them just having a sweeping victory through the promised land. And it all came because they honored a covenant, even a covenant that was made in deceit. That's why forgiveness is such a powerful thing. Forgiveness is such a powerful thing. You operating in forgiveness and you absorbing the pain of somebody else can cause some of the greatest breakthroughs in your life. Really is good, I'm telling you. It's good if you've overcome it. It's not good if you're in the middle of it. It's not good if right now the Holy Spirit is bringing faces to you and you're going, oh, crap. Did I say that? All right, so that brings us over here where Gibeah is putting a demand on Joshua. Aren't you glad we got that little historical context in there? Amen. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings. So what happened was, they joined with Gibeah, and they went and they fought, and they routed these five kings, just destroyed everything. But in the middle of the battle, Joshua said, get those five kings, and he says, toss them into a cave, and we're going to go continue to destroy those armies. We'll come back and deal with these kings later. So they threw the kings into a cave, they went out, and that was, you remember where the sun stood still? I love it! Joshua, he's like, we could really win a victory today if we had a little more sunlight. And you know what he said? He didn't pray. He commanded the sun to stand still. He didn't say, oh Lord, if it would be thy will, if thou wouldest be us so graciousest, we could win us thus the greatest battle today, as if you would be so kind and propitious towards us, your gracious servants. He didn't say that. He didn't even talk to God. You know what he said? Sun, stand still! Yeah. And God went, is this kid awesome or what? I mean, look at him. He's kicking their butt. And now he's like, sun, stand still. Sun, stay right there. Yeah. You go, you go. I mean, there's sometimes you're in a situation, you know what? Don't go looking. God, do something. You do something. You do it. Come on. Who are you anyway? I'm a child of God. I'm invested with incredible authority. Remember we read in Ephesians 1? I pray that you might get a revelation, a spirit of understanding and wisdom, that you would know your inheritance and know who you are and begin to operate out of that. Hey! All right, let's get on with it. Verse 22. Then he said to Joshua, open up the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they brought out the five kings from the cave. And the kings' names were Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, and king of Eglon. when they brought out those kings, Joshua, he called forth the Israelites. He told the commanders, the men of war, come on up here. They come and put your feet on the neck of all these kings. And they came and they put their feet on these kings' necks. And Joshua said to them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Afterward, Joshua smote and slew them and hanged their bodies on five trees, and they hung on the trees until the evening. Oh, you gotta love it, eh? I just love all this blood and guts and stuff. It's great, isn't it? Eh? It's great stuff. Brings out that man stuff, eh? The testosterone. Have to conquer, have to fight. Arr. These five kings, you ready? Five kings. I want to go through these five kings because, you know, participate in this. You know, Joshua, he wanted these guys to get a picture. He wanted them to have a living picture in their minds that they would walk into the fullness that God wanted for them. He wanted them to know. You remember back when our forefathers were afraid of these people? Remember back when we had to wait until all those folks died to step into this? These are the people that they were afraid of. These are the things that they thought they couldn't overcome. These were the obstacles to them possessing the fullness of God. But you know what? I threw them in this cave because I want you. We're going to throw these five guys on the floor, and then I want you to come up here, and I want you to put your foot right on their necks. It's great, isn't it? It's awesome. Isn't it great? You feel a lot of power when you got your enemy right under your shoe? Like you got your foot right on his neck? He's a little vulnerable, isn't he? And you're a place of incredible strength. And then you come, you put your foot there, you go, you just press down a little bit. You hear him going, ah, ah, ah. Watch this, Dad. Watch this. Ah. Good kick. Come on, everybody. Come on, line up. Come on. Go ahead. Hey, bring your son with you. That's great. Hey, how you doing? Put your foot there. Come on. You little Levite, put your foot there. Just give him a poke. They used to be afraid of these people. These are people they couldn't conquer, yet God had given them into their hands. Hebron, the king of Hebron. Hebron means place of intimacy and place of covenant. Hebron was a high place. Hebron was where Caleb went and took. Hebron means place of intimacy, place of covenant. And Caleb didn't say, give me Hebron. He said, I'm going to take it. And you know what? You don't fall into Hebron. It's uphill. See, a lot of people want to fall into the things of God. You don't fall into the things of God. You don't stumble into the things of God. You will not fall into your healing. You have to take it. You'll not stumble into the promises of God. Every precious thing of God, like intimacy with Him, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You don't stumble into intimacy. That's something you climb up to and you go and you fight. And you know, in Hebron's where the giants were. Hebron's where the big Anakites live. Hebron was a place of strength. But Caleb said, give me Hebron. Caleb loved it when he got to put his foot on the neck of that king. He says, it's awesome. I'm taking his castle. The vineyards that he built, he did it for me. The wells he dug, he did it for me. Things I did not even sow, I will now reap a harvest where I have not sown. And that's a promise to the people of God today. You will reap where you haven't sown. Isn't that wonderful? Place of intimacy is yours. You got to put your foot on the neck of that enemy who's keeping you from intimacy with God. And you got to say, you shall not block me from intimate fellowship with the voice of God. It's mine. I take it now. I appropriate it in Jesus' name. Number two. Jarmuth. Jarmuth was a place of exaltation. It means a high place, a place that is exalted, a place of power. We are called to go from glory to glory. We are called to be a people who speak a word of authority. And you see, the enemy wants to take away your authority. He wants to take away the exaltation in your life. He wants to take away your ability to reign and to rule and to walk in power and dominion. But you can put your foot on his neck and say, you've encroached on that too long. It's mine. I'm taking it tonight. Now, tonight, this isn't a cute sermon, this is the truth. We're taking it tonight. Eglon. Eglon is a place of prosperity. Eglon was a place, the word literally means and sounds like invincible. Eglon also meant unlimitation. There's no limitation. A place of wild abundance and prosperity. And you know what? The enemy builds a stronghold there. And he says, you shall not take this. Says, you shall not live in abundance, but I'm going to keep you penned down in a place of lack and barely enough. It's time for you to put your foot on the neck of that king and say, you cannot keep that from me. It is a covenant promise of mine, and I'm going to appropriate it, and I'm going to take it in Jesus' name. Lachish. Lachish was a place of relationship. Lachish was a place, it means companionship. Not intimacy, but companionship. Intimacy is fellowship with God and intimacy with Him. But Lachish is a place of companionship. It's a place where there's no strife, there's no division, but there are sound relationships and there is a sense of team. And you know what it is to belong. You know your place. You know where you're supposed to fill into rank. And you know where God wants you to be. And that's going to be restored to the church in this last day. It's not going to be a bunch of people wandering around not knowing how they fit into the body of Christ. That king has stood in the way of you and your placement in the body of Christ. He's tried to keep you from bonding and finding your established team, your fellowship, your compadres, your compañeros in this battle, this revolution. You're going to find your place. You're going to find where you belong. You're going to find that fellowship, that companionship. You're going to find that place of strength that the enemy's tried to take from you. Is anybody still listening? How many did I go through so far? That was four, right? Four. The last one. I want to keep the last one. It was Hebron, Jarmuth, Eglon, and Lachish. Intimacy, exaltation, prosperity, and companionship and relationship. Hey. Left this one for last, Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was a place of peace. Jerusalem is where God wanted to go. He wanted to get to Jerusalem. Because He's the King of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And you see, peace is shalom. You know the first word that the resurrected Christ spoke to His disciples? You know what the first word was? Shalom. When you walk through doors, you better say shalom. When you just appear in the middle of a room, the first word from that person, it's nice to be peace. I mean, boo! Wouldn't that be funny? Eh? Jesus, they're all, oh, what are we going to do? Oh my God, they took the body, I don't know where it is, and all of a sudden, boo! Ah! I mean, if somebody's just going to appear through a wall, peace. That's a good word to hear, isn't it? It's also a good word to hear if you were Peter, and you had denied Him three times and abandoned Him. It's a good word to hear. Peace. Do you know what? He's the King of Peace. And you need to get your peace back. You know, shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged. Peace means wholeness. Peace means health. Peace means prosperity. Peace means blessing. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my God of peace. And see, that's why I just left that for last, because this is a healing meeting. And you know what? Some of you need to put your foot on the neck of that king who's been trying to dominate that place. He's been trying to keep you from what's yours. And you know what? Jesus, your champion, your Joshua, He's penned all those kings up and tossed them in a cave just for you to put your foot on their neck tonight. And just for you to say, you know what? I'm taking it back tonight. This stuff's mine. I got it. I see it, Pastor. God's so good to show us these things in His Word. I'm taking it back tonight. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, quite honestly, you can appropriate your healing tonight just with that word right there. You know, because healing's yours. You know, you've been promised that. It's yours. And it's yours because of the goodness of God. It's yours because of what He's done, and it's yours because of who He is. You know, healing is a covenant responsibility for every believer to appropriate. It is your legal right to walk in it and live in it. Let's do a stomp party tonight. Let's get some trash cans and some things. Let's beat stuff.
Check 1, 2.
Let's stomp on the devil. And don't forget, devils can't swim. All right? So if you want to get rid of your devils, go take a dive in the river because they can't swim. All right? That's a deep revelation for you. How many need some healing in your life? How many need some restoration in your life? How many are going to take it? Just take it. It's yours. It's yours.